From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua. The text is chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Having executed sinful Achan, thus removing the cause for defeat, the army of Israel achieved a mighty victory over Ai as they followed the Lord's instructions for the battle. Our text details two actions which Joshua undertook. First, he slew the king of Ai. Then he built an altar to the Lord on Mount Ebal. From this narrative, Dr. Cairns extracts some important and blessed spiritual lessons. As he points out the connection between the fall of the heathen king and the erecting of the altar, Dr. Cairns will apply these events to what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. In a message entitled, The Victory of the Cross, we'll see that the cross of Christ is the ground of Satan's defeat and the guarantee of our victory. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 10. Art thou become like unto us? What must be the apostate professor's doom when his naked soul appears before God? How will he bear that voice? Depart, ye cursed. Thou hast rejected me, and I reject thee. Thou hast played the harlot and departed from me. I also have banished thee forever from my presence, and will not have mercy upon thee. What will be this wretch's shame at the last great day, when before assembled multitudes the apostate shall be unmasked? See the profane and sinners who never professed religion, lifting themselves up from their beds of fire to point at him. There he is, says one. Will he preach the gospel in hell? There he is, says another. He rebuked me for cursing, and was a hypocrite himself. Aha, says another. Here comes a psalm-singing Methodist, one who was always at his meeting. He is the man who boasted of his being sure of everlasting life, and here he is. No greater eagerness will ever be seen among satanic tormentors than in that day when devils drag the hypocrite's soul down to perdition. Bunyan pictures this with massive but awful grandeur of poetry when he speaks of the back way to hell. Seven devils bound the wretch with nine cords and dragged him from the road to heaven in which he had professed to walk and thrust him through the back door into hell. Mind that back way to hell, professors. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Look well to your state. See whether you be in Christ or not. It is the easiest thing in the world to give a lenient verdict when one's self is to be tried. But, oh, be just and true here. Be just to all, but be rigorous to yourself. Remember, if it be not a rock on which you build, when the house shall fall, great will be the fall of it. Oh, may the Lord give you sincerity, constancy, and firmness, and in no day, however evil, may you be led to turn aside.
Oh,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. Now, once again, Joshua chapter 8, and we're going to read today from verse 28 to verse 31. Verse 28 to verse 31 of Joshua chapter 8. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it an heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. This morning I will want us to turn our attention particularly to verse 29 and verse 30. The first line of verse 29, the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree. Verse 30, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. The few verses we have read together have caused a storm of controversy. Many critics complain that these verses are misplaced, that somehow or other they have got dislocated from, say, the end of chapter 11 and put in here in the midst of chapter 8. They say that Joshua would not have gone from his victory at Ai and trekked over 30 miles across mountainous terrain to get to Mount Ebal, which is on the site of ancient Shechem. Say he couldn't have done that through hostile territory. Then again, they say if he had done it, he would certainly not have then returned to Gilgal to set up camp. And yet we find later in the narrative that Israel's camp was at Gilgal. So they say this is a passage that is out of place. There are others who go even further, and they say this passage has no place at all in the narrative of Joshua, that it was written by somebody else, and it was interpolated into the narrative. Now, these are the critics' ideas. I can tell you without fear of being overthrown that their views have no basis in truth. They have no basis in fact. I will in due course deal with the march to Ebal, and I'll show you that all the so-called difficulties that the critics have invented are simply matters of their own imagining. There is no good reason whatsoever why Joshua should not, on conquering Ai, have set out straight to Ebal. There was very good reason why he should do it, and no reason why he shouldn't. But what I want us to do today is to concentrate on something that can be very simply overlooked. Now, as I've said, 30 miles of mountainous countryside separate these two places, Ai, from Mount Ebal. That means that you've got at least 2 days' journey, possibly 3 days' journey, given the number of people that Joshua was having to move from one place to another. He was moving an entire nation. So at least you have 2 to 3 days' journey. But though that amount of distance and that amount of time separated these two events, the hanging of the king of Ai and the building of the altar at Ebal, Joshua, in writing this book, very clearly intended that we should look at the victory at Ai in the context of the altar of the Lord that he built. I believe that he brings these two things together as if the two places were side by side, and as if the two events had taken place one day, or indeed 1 hour after the next. I believe he brings them side by side in that way to teach us that it was because of the work of the altar that God had revealed through Moses and that Joshua and I put into operation. It was because of the work of the altar that Israel had gained their victory at Ai to start with. Now, there is for me there a very clear spiritual lesson. This is going to be the force of all I want us to consider today. There's a very clear spiritual lesson, and it is that there's a connection, a spiritual connection, between the fall of the king of Ai and the building of the altar at Ebal. In connecting those two things in the narrative, Joshua was teaching Israel some great lessons. First of all, he was teaching them that the blessings they had enjoyed were purely the result of God's favor. They were not the result of human or military genius. They were not the result of overwhelming numbers. They were not the result of great strategy and great tactics. They were the result of divine favor. That was the first thing. Then he intended to teach them that that favor was fully displayed by the work of the altar. And then he intended to teach them that the work of the altar, therefore, was what crushed the king of Ai and what guaranteed Israel's future victories. Now, the spiritual significance for you and me of all this is unmistakable. As I read this portion of Scripture, the one truth that blazoned itself in my mind was that a greater Joshua, remember that the Hebrew word Joshua is the New Testament or Greek word Jesus. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 4, very clearly set forth, where the two, the Old Testament and the New Testament Jesus, are set in contrast as well as parallel. I thought that a greater Joshua crushed a greater king of evil than the king of Ai, because he did a greater work at a greater altar. And as we think of that, we can learn the same three lessons that Joshua taught his people. All that you and I enjoy, we enjoy not by merit, not by money, not by effort, not by willpower, not by character, not by our own earning. We have what we have, and we are what we are by the grace of God. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that faith even is not of ourselves, but is the gift of God's grace. It is by grace that we are kept. Again and again and again, the New Testament gives to God's people the divine benediction. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every blessing we have by grace alone. And then we learn that that grace of God is most fully displayed at the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, that greater altar, is where the love of God is most fully seen, where the grace of God is most gloriously outpoured. There you have the concentration of all the mercy, all the goodness, all the kindness, all the grace of God toward his erring creatures. Then we also learn, as Joshua taught his people, that the cross, the altar of our greater Joshua, is what crushed Satan and what guarantees the victory and the blessings of the people of God. Now, as we look at these two verses then, or these two statements, drawn together, as they clearly are, by the inspired penman, we can lift the history up to a spiritual level, and we can learn a great New Testament doctrine. Let me put it like this, and this is what I want to preach about today. The cross of Christ is the ground of Satan's defeat, and it is the guarantee of the saints' victory. The cross of Christ, the ground of Satan's defeat, and the guarantee of the saints' victory. Now, I want to deal with this in the simplest, most straightforward possible way. Let me remark first and foremost that Christ defeated Satan at Calvary. You remember that before the cross, the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "This is your hour." He was speaking to those who had come to arrest him, his enemies, those who hated him and desired his death. He said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." This is the hour of the power of darkness. There in Gethsemane, you see more than a human gathering. You see men, but behind the men, there is the motivation of hell. Behind their hatred, there is the fury of the arch enemy of truth, even Satan himself. And the Lord Jesus, as he felt the awful darkness of Gethsemane, and he looked forward to the even greater darkness of Golgotha, he said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.